Good morning, everyone. I hope you're able to log in. Sorry for the delay. Keep getting a couple of error messages. So hopefully technology is not ruining this for us. Hope that we are able to reach out to you. I don't see anybody joining, so I hope that's just a... Oh, there we go. A little nervous there. But anyway, thank you for coming. Thank you for joining us today. It is Father's Day. I wish everyone out there that is listening, or listening even at a later date, if you come back a little later today or in the week and listen to this, I wish you happy Father's Day. It is a special day, as with Mother's Day. They are a couple of days where we get to honor those parents in our lives that really have spoken to us and moved us in a way that shares the love of God and the love of others with us, and that is a blessing. So again, happy Father's Day to all those who are joining us. As always, please continue to mark that you are attendance by just saying that you're here and good morning and those sorts of things. So love that we are able to get together. One announcement from last week: we had problems with our ability to publish to the website. I had a interruption in the middle of the service, and although we were able to publish it to our website, we weren't able to publish it out on Facebook for some reason. So hopefully that's not the case today, and we're able to get that done and get that published in both places. But if not, we are able to upload the video afterwards on our our webpage for kempumc.org. That's the First UMC Kemp webpage, and that's where all the messages are being saved and published as well. So all that aside, I think we are ready to start our worship service. So those of you who are listening and with us this morning, I thank you again for being with us. I hope you got the order of worship I sent out this morning, and we will begin with our centering words. Great are the works of God's hands, wondrous are the blessings of Christ's love. Holy are the works of God's Spirit. And joining me in our call to worship: when we have been cast aside the deserts of our lives, you open our eyes to life-giving water that sustain us in need. When our future seems lost and others have taken our place of honor, you restore our hope and promise
us an inheritance
of our own. Who is like you among the gods, who answers prayer in times of deepest need? We are here to worship you, O God, for you alone can save us. Mm-hmm. An opening prayer, if you'll pray with me. Eternal God, turn and be gracious to us. For the road is long and we are weary. We feel beaten down by the trials of life and need your strength to sustain us. Show us your favor and offer us a blessing that we may abide in faithfulness and not be put to shame. Comfort us, O God, and revive our souls. Grant us that the endurance to take up our cross and follow the difficult roads in life. Amen. And our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed in the United Methodist Hymnal, is number 881 in the back, if you have a copy at home. If not, it's right here for you to read along with us and recite. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into heaven. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And Kim's here with our children's message.
Hi, good morning, friends. It is Father's Day, so of course I wanted to mention that my husband and I have dads, of course, and we grew up in families that both of our parents got divorced, which is, you know, a different topic for another day. But what a good thing that came out of that was that they all got remarried, and so we actually have four dads. So we're blessed with a lot of fathers, and that's a really great thing because they all have different gifts and attributes, each one of them, and things that they taught us throughout the years, and we've learned from them and been great examples for us as we go on. So, you know, I really was thinking about that being Father's Day and how I'm, of course, going to call them today and say thank you and just let them know how much I appreciate them. But whenever we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And I really wanted to bring that up because God is the Father and the supreme guide that we should go to whenever we have questions or concerns. I go to my mom whenever I need comfort. I go to my dad when I need guidance or, you know, advice. And God, to me, is the same way. Whenever I want to pray or I have questions or I want guidance or I need to know about something, that's who I go to. And then in a fatherly role, I know that God will comfort me and protect me, but let me know what I need to do and how, if I'm going the right way or not. And so I really want you to think about that this week and to thank God as your Father and to know that whenever you have questions or concerns or need guidance, that you can always pray and God will always listen. So let's do that now. Dear God, Almighty Father, help us to remember that you envelop us with love. Help us to always seek you whenever we are in need of guidance or advice, and just help us to be on the path that you would like us to be. We love you with all of our hearts, and we thank you for always being there for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim, for that. As she steps out to go join the live feed, we come to our time of tithes and offerings. So, I guess the thing that we want to continue to remember is that as even though we're not gathering together in face-to-face worship or in-person worship, we are, you know, making plans to be able to do that and hope to get that going. Again, very soon. The needs of the church, though, and the ministries of the church still continue. So, Lord, we are. I was about to start into my prayer there. Sorry, but as we get into that sort of thing, and we understand that we have to give, you know, continue to give our offerings and our tithes. You know, the right now probably mailing in is the easiest way for most of us to participate in the giving, and that. To do that for Becker UMC, the P.O. Box is 92, and that's in Kemp, Texas, 75143. And then for First UMC Kemp, that is at P.O. Box 327, Kemp, Texas, 75143. And then there's also the PayPal account. Again, you do have to have your own PayPal account set up first before you can give that way, but our PayPal account is at is found at FUMC Kemp. That's FUMCKemp at gmail.com. And that way we can get electronic giving as well. Let's bow for a word of prayer and just ask God to bless this time that we have together. And, excuse me, as well as these tithes and offerings that we offer in return to God. So Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We say thank you. Thank you for the weekend rain, the good day of sun yesterday. We may have a little more rain in our forecast these next few days, Lord, and if that's the case, we will take it because we know that as the summer continues here in this part of the country, it starts to dry out pretty quickly, so any bit of rain we can get is a blessing to continue to keep the grass green longer and the trees green longer and all the good stuff that come with those water, with that watering. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We thank you for this time where we have this opportunity to give back to you, to return just a portion of what you have given to us so abundantly. Father, I ask that you bless these offerings and these gifts that we return, that they may be used to multiply and glorify your name throughout the world. We ask these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, our scripture today comes from Genesis 21, 8 through 21. And, boy, that just jumped out of nowhere. But as I prepare to read the scripture, this is a narrative of Hagar and Ishmael being sent away. So, again, Genesis 21, verses 8 through 21. Hear the word of God. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because the boy and because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water of the skin in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite to him, she lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today is Father's Day, as I had mentioned a couple different times, and again, happy Father's Day. I do want to wish a happy Father's Day to everyone who fills that role in your families. You know, if you got some gifts this morning, and I hope you did, and most importantly, I hope they were what you needed, and sometimes it's even what you wanted, right? It's always a bonus to get something that you want as well as something that you need, so if it fills both of those for you, that's great. But most importantly, I think I hope what I want to hope for you, or my hope for you, is that you can spend some time with your children and enjoy one another's company. I know a few of my friends this weekend had their children coming in, their young adult children coming to visit and do these sorts of things. So it's really nice. And we actually plan to run down and see one of our parents, or my dad, stepdad, actually, to come watch, spend some time with him and my mother. And just do some things that we haven't been able to do for some time due to this pandemic that's been, you know, going around the country. But we feel like we can do it safely this weekend and this evening, so we're going to try to go over there and have some dinner. But that's kind of what it's all about, really, right? Father's Day is this time where we come together and we celebrate those who are fathers in the world, or those who fill that role as father to someone. And it is with these thoughts of fatherhood, and you may be asking why today's passage. I mean, considering that it is the narrative of Abraham sending away his son Ishmael and his mother Hagar, on the surface it is not the most uplifting of fatherly stories, I don't think, or at least I couldn't see it that way. But, you know, thankfully, that is not all that there is to this story, right? I mean, most, and for most weeks that's true of any passage we tend to read and we cover in our scripture time, or in our message time, or even in our Bible study. As we get to peel back the layers of the different passages that we study, we see that just the surface isn't all that we have or can glean from this story. And there is a lot to be said for what else is in this story. There's a lot of moving parts and strategies and motivations that are being played out for us to see how the God of the universe, right, the God of all things, the creator of all things, reaches down into the messiness of our lives and can still work through those individuals, through us, through Abraham and Sarah, through Hagar even, and all the individuals that were in the story as well as in our own lives for God's divine purpose. And that is really at the heart of today's passage, as it is really every week. And so, as much as I wish I could say also about fathers, right, that we were all perfect, I know in our household, at least, personally, that's not the truth, right? I am not a perfect person. I have many failures when it comes to parenting. But, you know, the goal and the thought for fathers and days like today and stories like that we hear today about Abraham, it's nice to know that even though we are imperfect, that we have this, as Kim was alluding to, this Father in heaven that can really reach out and sustain us, right, and help us to make better decisions, help us to make help us to be an example, is what I want to say, with regard to this obedience that Abraham seems to really have down pat, right? When you think about a few weeks ago, or last week maybe it was, that we talked about Abraham and they were being told that they would have a child because Abraham was obedient to understanding who, you know, that he was having this moment with God, and he was hospitable and shared hospitality with God as God came to visit him. And you know, now here we are, and this promised child is being born, Isaac, and then he's being weaned, and he has this other son, Ishmael, who was not part of that divine declaration by God, but the point here is that even though Abraham has to make this tough decision, there is God in the midst of it, right? There's God there to assure him, to assure Abraham before he acts on that decision, right? So he's troubled with it, he's struggling with it. we may not know the motivation or the purpose of Sarah in that moment asking that Hagar and Ishmael be sent away. I think even legally, you know, in those times the tradition would be that Hagar, or Ishmael, excuse me, would still receive an inheritance because of who Abraham was being his father. So there is still this, you know, he really couldn't deny his inheritance because just sending him away or banishing him, that wouldn't absolve the responsibility. So we see, though, you know, we're not sure, you know, what the motivation or the strategy was there, but we do see that God, I don't want to say confirms, but uses the moment for God's purpose, right? There's things that speak about in the chapters leading up to this moment where there are going to be these, what happens with the two, Ishmael and Isaac, as the offspring of Abraham, and their lives and their the lives of those who are their offspring, right? Their generations to follow, and what's going to happen between those two nations and those that due to that relationship between the two brothers. And so all these things have to come to pass because it is part of God's divine purpose or God's plan. And because of all these things, you know, we see Abraham as this obedient follower of God, right? When God gives a command, you know, to send away your son and to do is what Sarah says, you know, that's got to be troubling for any father. And you know, much less here's Abraham being asked to do that, and not only does he, I guess, follow that, you know, what God says to do, you know, in this perspective, or at least in this particular example, it's for the life of his child Ishmael. But then, you know, next chapter later on in what would be Abraham's life a few years later, he is now asked also, he's also asked to sacrifice the remaining child, And in both instances, you know, both of those requests from God, I would not want to be asked either of those things. And I'm sure most people would not, right? But in both situations, Abraham is not only able to follow through, but he focuses on what God provides in those moments, right? He focuses on that God's going to provide the care for the lives of both of his children. And I think for me, from that perspective, that was what I was thinking about when I was reading the story. This thought of the life of our children, in fact, the life of my life, my wife's life, you know, our children's lives, our parents' lives, who we talked about today as well. All of those lives are in the hands of God, right? That's the universal truth for us here. And as if we're going to be obedient to God's plan as followers of Christ, then, you know, we have to remember that first and foremost, that there are going to be times as parents, as fathers, that we are asked or we have to do things that are going to be difficult, that are going to be hard. But it's with this thought of being not only obedient to our Heavenly Father, but also obedient to the task of fatherhood and teaching our children, you know, right from wrong, teaching our children, you know, the right way to be present or share God's love with others, right? To be a present to God in the moment, as well as to be available to those around them as an example of who God is, right? It's how we pass on our faith. One of the ways that we do it is through the example that we have or that we give. And that thought struck me as trying to fight back a little bit of emotion, sorry. But here's the thing. Like, so Kim and I are fast approaching this time, as you guys know, that our son just graduated high school, and we're approaching this time where he will be going away to college. And today's narrative really hit home for us, or for me anyway. And I'm speaking only for myself. My wife will speak for herself, I know, if she can agree and would like to agree. But I have this mix of emotions. And many of you who have already experienced this, you know, I know you've probably went through some of these same things. You're happy, you're sad, you're excited, you're miserable. You know, I used to joke about how excited I'm going to be the day that he, you know, does move off to college or moves out to be on his own. You know, because sometimes my son and I, our personalities butt heads quite a bit. But the reality is that I am excited for him, but only in the sense that it is what he's moving towards, right? That he's, not that he's leaving us, that really saddens me. And that's that mix of emotion that really makes it hard to really just kind of express how we feel in these times, because, you know, one moment we're happy and excited, the next moment we're a little bit sad and dejected because, you know, we're going to miss our child. You know, he's going to be experiencing things outside the home. He plans to live in the dorms on campus and the first couple of years, and these things that he has, his days will be filled with what college life is about, right? Classes and new friends and new opportunities. You know, in his case, he's going to be a music major, and so he's going to be, you know, practicing a lot. He's going to be singing a lot. He's going to be doing all these things that are kind of preparing him for life after college and working and those things. And, you know, he's not going to have as much time for us. And that's a good thing, but also a bad thing, you know, when you're on the end of not having as much time with somebody you care so deeply about. And so there's this is where we are in this moments of wanting to hang on to tightly to every last opportunity that we have, these last few opportunities that we have, moments that we have with him in the house, but also being able to let go, right? We're clinging, but then we're also having to open up our hands and allow him to be the person that God calls him to be. The hope for me and for Kim, I'm sure, is that, albeit in our imperfect ways as we are, that we have been this tangible example of obedience to God, right, in our own lives. Just like Abraham had to follow what God had told him to do with Ishmael, with regard to Ishmael, but also he had this moment where he was asked to sacrifice Isaac. In both moments, he is obedient to the point where God then takes over and provides. And Ishmael and his mother, Hagar, are cared for, even in the wilderness, until adulthood, and there's this great nation made of him. Isaac is cared for. He's not sacrificed. There is a ram that's caught in the thicket. That story as well. And God understands that, what we can take away from that obedience is understanding that in those moments where they seem to be the toughest things that we're going to go through in those, as we live our lives, and that there is God in those moments as well. That God is there for us to lift us, to care for us, to bring us through and carry us through those times that are toughest for us, like when our children go off to college, like when they go and start their own lives. It is a part of life. It is the cycle of life. It is an exciting time for him. But then again, like I said, for me personally, there is some sadness knowing that I don't get to see him every day. I will get over it eventually, I promise. But anyway, this is, as I said, this obedience, this example that we give to our children is just one way that we can pass on our faith to our children and their children and so forth through the generations. As we are, can be an example, as Abraham was, this would be ancient, so this is well before the time of Christ, so some say 7,000 years ago, maybe 10,000 years ago, not sure the actual beginning of where these stories emulate from or begin, but that's all the generations that have heard this story in the Jewish faith, not to mention now all the generations that have also heard it since Christ has come. This same story, gives us a look at what it was like then and what is still true today, that we have a Father in heaven, that we are called to obey, that we are called to follow, and that in our example, like Abraham, we can pass on our faith to those generations that follow. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen, and happy Father's Day to each and every one of you out there that fills that role in your family. We come to our time of pastoral prayer. This is the time where we can lift up our prayer concerns. Part of the problems that we had last week, I must say, I missed a couple of the prayer concerns from last week. So if you can email me at pastordavid@att.net with those prayer concerns from last week, I will get them updated here for this week. I do have Judy Jedlicka. Thank you, Lucinda, for putting that one back in there. I did get her on our list this morning. So that should be out there for everyone to pray for Judy and quick healing for sure. So if there are any other requests, just go ahead and put them in the comments as we prepare for a moment where we can go to God with our concerns, both joys and concerns. So if you have any joys as well, please lift those up. I did get an email about some joys, so I did remove a couple of names. I want to say it was David and Pat Hill. They both are doing much better, and so we were able to remove those from our list. So those are joys and prayers answered, so that's a great thing. Any others that we'd like to lift up? Diana Clemo, Lord, hear our prayer. So with Diana and Judy, we'll continue to lift them up in prayer, as well as the names that have been listed with us or given to us previously. And as I begin our prayer, if you have continued other names come to you as we pray and you want to list them, that's great. And I'll make sure I update the list for next week's. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We say thank you. Again, we say thank you for this time that we have as your children, as we come together today and we bow our heads in prayer and we join together and worship this time together that we now have to pray to you. Father, we say thank you for this opportunity to do such. We say thank you for your Son, Jesus, who made all this possible with his sacrifice on the cross. What he has done has been the conduit for us to speak directly to you through him, and that we ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name, and we know that they are heard by you. And what a blessing it is as your people to be able to come directly to you, the creator of all things, and lay at the foot of the cross the concerns that we have. It's also a blessing that we can also lift up the joys when you have answered the prayers that you have faithfully answered and given us the requests that we've asked for so diligently and faithfully about healing. And we know that you are there and you do those things and your hands are there with those who provide the healing. And what a blessing it is that we are able to be a part of that process by simply lifting up names in prayer. So, Father, we say thank you for that. We say thank you for those joys, those answered prayers. Father, we also say thank you for this opportunity now that we have to be in prayer with you again. And as we have these new concerns that are being lifted up for Judy and for Diana, Lord, we ask that any other names that come or could not be spoken, Lord, that you also are there providing the healing and the comfort and the peace that is required. Father, you know the need before we even speak it. You know the need before we even think it. So, Lord, we just ask that you continue to be there and present in the lives of your people as we continue to lift up those names that come to us, that are given to us, Father. But we also want to lift up our communities. We also want to lift up the community of Becker and Kemp, individually, the county of Kaufman, and beyond. Lord, we know that anywhere we think of and know that you are present there, then, Lord, that we know your works can be done there. So, Father, we just lift up those local communities and beyond, and we ask that you help us to be present to the needs and help us to be focused on the mission that you have given to us, Lord. We ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come to our time of hymn, our hymn of response. I guess our one and only hymn we've been kind of reduced to in this online medium. And it is Great is Thy Faithfulness. The words are listed there below for you if you'd like to sing along. And I hope you do, because singing a cappella for these last, 90 days or so is really scaring me that you've had to listen to so many. But with that said, Great is Thy Faithfulness will be our song today. We'll sing the three verses with the refrain, and then we'll go into our benediction. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you sang along, because I imagine that you are, and that helps me to try to sing better. So thank you for that. Hear our benediction. Though we have been cast aside, you restore our future. Though our others seek to banish us from sight, you bless us with opportunities for new life. Go with the blessings of the one who loves us fiercely. We go to share God's love with the world. Amen. Happy Father's Day, and y'all have a great day. Love you.